Upheaval. Breaking point. Chapter 19. Standing together.
Let's hurry back,
Vanguard said.
They should be awake and hungry by now. Do you have enough for them, Scarlet?
Sure thing, Captain, Scarlet Rabbit replied. I even brought some for that baby dragon, although I don't know if his kind likes bread and moss. Vanguard clash! The two of them looked up at where the angry voice came from. Before Vanguard could get a good look, something heavy crashed down on him, knocking him down on his belly with his legs spread apart. He felt his breath blow out of his lungs at the impact, and recognized the feel of four hoofs stepping on his back. From the voice in the entrance, he guessed with a sinking heart as to who it was. Good morning, Flight Captain Tailwind, Vanguard heard Scarlet greet his assailant. Good morning to you too, Scarlet Rabbit, Tailwind answered. Move along now. I have some talking to do with my stupid son. Vanguard looked up at Scarlet and nodded, letting the Pegasus fly off and back to Twilight and the others. With Scarlet gone, he focused his attention on his mother. Before he could say anything, however, he felt her lift him up by the shoulders and then bang his snout against the pavement. The impact did no damage, but he did feel his head ring. You come back from the dead days ago and you can't even be bothered to tell me?
I was assigned a mission as soon as I...
Vanguard felt his snout hit the pavement again. You owe me 12 dead wolven, you rotten boy. I went on a rampage because I thought you were dead, and your father nearly got himself killed. Vanguard was still rubbing his snout painfully as he walked towards the building where Twilight and the others were staying. Tailwind had decided to accompany him, stating that she wanted to see the Chosen for herself when he mentioned that they were going to join the Legion, and that two of them were Pegasi. They were still a good distance from the building, however, when he spotted them. They were near the end of a line of ponies while Scarlet hovered nearby. He looked towards the other end of the line to find that Logistics had set up a recruiting station. A call to arms must have already been issued across Bastion City, and citizens were lining up to join Equestria's defense. The long line would normally have been a bother to Twilight Sparkle, but for this time, she was a little glad for it. Being made to stand in line while on their way to recruitment showed that she was no longer being shown any preferential treatment. There will be no more being separated from the rest of the Legion and being protected. Now she can really show that she meant what she said about standing together with Equestria's defenders. As the line moved on, she noticed a familiar black-barded figure walking towards her. It was easy to spot Vanguard Clash. There was no pony else who had his armor or that enormous weapon he kept strapped to his harness. He was walking with some pony this time, a Pegasus mare who was about an inch shorter than he was, with a light blue, almost white coat. Her mane was gray, like the underside of a storm cloud, cut short and swept to one side. A long, thin scar ran across the right side of her jaw. Unlike Scarlet Rabbit, she wore a coat of chain, reinforced with metal plates around her chest, flanks, and neck. Unlike Scarlet's gray plates, however, this pony's barding carried a distinct silvery sheen, and she wore no chamfron. A stylized wing was embossed in gold on the left part of the chest plate. You took your time, Twilight said to Vanguard. Vanguard glanced briefly to the Pegasus next to him as an answer.
Every pony, this is Flight Captain Tailwind. Flight Captain, these are the Chosen I was talking to you about.
Tailwind approached Twilight's group, carefully inspecting them with bright blue eyes. She was immediately drawn, however, to Rainbow Dash and Fluttershy. I never imagined that I would meet actual Chosen in my lifetime, she said. I hear that you plan to join the Legion. That's commendable. She stopped and gave Rainbow Dash a good hard look. Is this the one you mentioned, Vanguard? Vanguard nodded in response, while Tailwind stretched out one of Rainbow's wings with her hooves. Looks promising, she said. Is she fast?
Almost as fast as Scarlet,
Vanguard answered. Tailwind nodded approvingly. Rainbow was about to raise her head proudly, but the word almost quickly caught her attention. On impulse, her gaze immediately landed on Scarlet Rabbit, who was still hovering nearby. The sight of this put a small smile on Tailwind's lips. And what about this one? She asked as she turned her attention on Fluttershy.
Redbrand has that one pegged for medical already,
Vanguard answered. That fool of a nag, Tailwind muttered. When did he get to reserve recruits for himself? Fine. She looked at Rainbow, who couldn't help but be taken a little aback by the intense stare. I'll see you in reconnaissance. Now I have to go. The other flight captains will have started arguing over recruit placement, and I don't intend on finishing this day with less than a full flight. With that, Tailwind walked off. She patted Vanguard on the shoulder as she passed him. Stay safe, son, she said softly. I might not survive the next time I hear you're dead. She seems interesting, Twilight said once Tailwind had left. I heard her call you son, Applejack said. Was that your ma?
Yes,
Vanguard answered a little sheepishly.
She wasn't very happy that I put off seeing her until we got here, but she was more reasonable about it than I expected.
She sounds like a nice lady, Applejack said with a grin.
Try telling that to her flight,
Vanguard snorted.
Move along now. The line's adjusting.
The line eventually dwindled until it was their turn to face the recruiting officer. The olive-coated stallion took a sip from the cup of tea on his table and took a good look at Twilight's group. At the sight of them, he nearly gagged on his tea. What's this? He asked. When did we start drafting Chosen?
They're recruits,
Vanguard said.
Ignore the marks on their flanks. They'll serve just like everypony else.
The recruiting officer glanced skeptically at Vanguard and then shrugged. He then handed the quill to Twilight. Names and signatures here, he said as he pointed to a piece of parchment on the table. He suddenly stared intently at Twilight when she had the quill. By signing on, you hereby pledge your complete loyalty to the Equestrian Legion, that you'll obey its officers and acknowledge their authority as extensions of the authority of Prince Tirado, rightful ruler of the Barrier Lands. Know that there is no leaving the Legion. Even after retirement from active duty, you will be expected to serve if called upon. If you attempt to leave once you have joined, you'll be tried for treason. Do you understand? The words only served to highlight the finality of the path Twilight had chosen. Her eyes narrowed, and she kept her grip on the quill steady. It was only after she had signed her name on the parchment did she realize that her heart was pounding. The rest of her friends followed suit. Unicorns go to magical, Pegasi to reconnaissance, earth ponies to infantry. Check in with your respective officers behind me once you're done here, the officer said. Before he could continue, his gaze fell on Rainbow Dash, whereupon his eyes widened, and then he checked his cup. Tirado's torn wing, what's in this tea?
Excuse me, Fluttershy said quietly after signing her name.
The recruiting officer raised an eyebrow.
What's the matter, Philly? He asked. You've barely got a hoof past the door and you've got something to complain about already?
Oh, no, Fluttershy replied. I wouldn't do that. It's just that Dr. Redbrand said that if you put me in reconnaissance instead of medical, he would saw your muzzle off. That sounds pretty painful.
What? The recruiting officer exclaimed. But I just sent him a squad's worth of recruits. What did you do to catch his eye? Show him a little flank?
Fluttershy paused and looked at her flank.
Well, he did notice my cutie mark.
The recruiting officer put a hoof to his face.
That stallion's old enough to be your father. All right then. I'll have you go to medical instead. Let Redbrand duke it out with the wing commander.
With that out of the way, they all proceeded to the crowded area behind the recruiting officer. Recruitment was taking place at the center of the city, where there was an enormous plaza, a parading ground that was now converted into a training ground. It was there that they had to separate and head towards their designated divisions. Twilight and Rarity quickly noticed that Magical was the smallest group in the plaza, consisting of a small cluster of unicorns. It had occurred to them that they had barely seen any unicorns in the city. They were given mage coats, thick layers of cloth padded with leather inside to help against enemy fangs and claws and reduce the damage from enemy bolts. Although it horrified them to find out that the leather was taken from actual animal hide instead of being magically synthesized like back in the Heartland, they stayed silent about it. Once they had put their coats on, they were ordered to line up. 3 rows of 7 ponies all in all. Tallest to shortest, from left to right, with each pony a leg's length from each other. When the unicorns, most of who were about as old or even younger than Twilight, took some time to get into the required position, the unicorn officer shouted at them.
What's the matter with you fools? We haven't even gotten a spell casting yet and you're already fumbling about. 3 rows, 7 ponies. Move, move, move!
All of the unicorn recruits scrambled, comparing heights and stretching out legs to make sure that they were properly spaced. The unicorn officer walked out in front of them. He was a strange sight for a pony, a grayish-white unicorn with a completely shaved mane. His tail was nothing more than a few inches tuft of green hair. Like them, he wore a thick leather-padded coat, but his was trimmed with gold thread, and a stylized horn marked the left side of his chest.
21 unicorns, he said with a scorn. We're faced with the greatest wolven attack in centuries, and my beloved Bastion City comes up with 21 unicorns. 19, seeing as 2 of you are chosen.
Twilight and Rarity couldn't help but wince when they felt the eyes of their fellow recruits go towards them.
"Eyes forward, you morons!" the officer shouted. "No pony told you to ogle them. Don't make me be the first to send recruits to the whipping post."
Every unicorn in the group flinched and immediately looked straight ahead.
"Now, let's get down to business. I am Mage Captain Owlsight. Not that it would matter to you drill heads, as I'll kick your flanks if you address me with anything but sir. Before we do anything, we will test you for two things. Magical sustaining and magical burst. These two traits will help us determine if you belong to the spell firing line or with the arcane shields. Bring out the spell dummies, Vice Captain."
A unicorn behind the group trotted forward carrying several dummies made from two intersecting poles and a sack stuffed with straw. He then proceeded to stand them up in a row on a patch of earth to the side of the pavement where some bushes grew before trotting back to his place.
"First, we'll test you for magical burst," Owlsight continued. "Each of you will step forward and cast, preferably, an offensive spell you know. If you don't know any, a telekinetic kick will suffice. Now let's get started."
The first recruit stepped forward and cast a spell. His horn glowed a steady green and then projected a raw blob of telekinesis that hurtled towards the dummy. The spell struck solidly, causing the wood to shake as if it had been kicked hard. Seeing the results, he smiled before returning to his place. At the sides, Owlsight looked on, nodded, and then scribbled on a notebook he carried. Several recruits followed, most using the same telekinetic blow to give the dummy a good shake with each hit. One recruit managed to snap the dummy's support, causing it to fall to the ground. He grinned and was about to rear triumphantly when a glare from Owlsight sent him slinking back to his post.
"Not bad," Owlsight commented. "It's your turn, Purple Chosen. Show us what you got."
Twilight Sparkle swallowed a large lump in her throat as she stepped up. She was suddenly reminded of the time she received her cutie mark. She wanted to cast a telekinetic kick, just as every pony had, but she remembered that Mage Captain Owlsight preferred an offensive spell she knew. Her mind went back to Pyre Valor's notes. She had studied them a good deal, and she was confident that she had learned one, Burning Hooves, as Pyre Valor had written the spell down. She stood about 10 feet away from the dummy and made sure she faced away from any pony before beginning the spell. Twilight had never worked with fire before, beyond lighting candles anyway. It wasn't just because there had never been a situation that she could only solve by a generous dose of burning. Fire was a difficult element to control. It harmed others far too easily and spread quickly at the slightest mistake. But now she was going to have to try it. She could feel the tips of her hooves grow hot as she gathered the magic. As soon as she felt that heat, she also felt the urge to immediately regulate the energy to make sure that it didn't hurt anyone. She squashed that urge, however. Her usual methods of control would cause the spell to fizzle. Direction was the proper way of controlling Pyre Valor's spells. Direction and an instinctive use of the right amount of magic. She aimed her hoofs at the dummy and let go. The result was a shock, even to her. Twin jets of flame burst from her hoofs. They traveled only for a short distance, barely licking the dummy, but that was enough to light it on fire, sending thick clouds of smoke rising upwards for other recruits to gawk at.
"Impressive," Owlsight said flatly.
A faint hint of approval tinged his tone as Twilight walked back to her place.
"So the first pony to show a spell we can use against the Wolven is some pony not even from here, but from a place that the Wolven don't even directly threaten. Even I'm embarrassed. Next!"
Rarity stepped forward, silently cursing that she had to go immediately after Twilight, the most magical unicorn in all of the Heartland, who was probably adjusting to the magical drift already.
"I suppose a spell that gives one a fabulous hairdo won't suffice?"
she asked, sheepishly. Owlsight didn't even look up from the notes he was scribbling.
"One more wisecrack, recruit, and I'll saw your horn off and chuck you over to infantry," he said. "They're not connoisseurs of erudite witticisms over there like I am."
Swallowing hard, Rarity decided that her only option was a telekinetic kick, even though she had never applied her telekinesis in such a manner before. She had never given her magic much thought, certainly not as much as Twilight Sparkle. For her, it was an excellent tool for dressmaking. She concentrated on gathering the magic, and to her dismay, found it incredibly difficult to even do that. She struggled to maintain concentration, gathering as much magic as she could before violently hurling the magic as a burst of telekinetic force. The target dummy vibrated slightly, shaking a single strand of straw out of the stuffing. Owlsight continued scribbling his notes down as Rarity slinked back to her position with her head down. The recruits couldn't help but turn the corners of their lips at the sight. One of them went so far as to let out a snicker at the dismal performance. Owlsight immediately raised his head to the entire group's surprise. "So you think that's funny, eh, recruit?" he shouted. "You think it's hilarious finding out that we're even more short-hoofed than anticipated with the Wolven on the way? Vice Captain, give that joker his first 5 lashes." The Vice Captain pulled the horrified stallion out of the line and led him off. The rest of the group was completely stone-faced by the time he was out of sight. "Let's get on with the magical sustainability test," Owlsight said. The second test involved only their telekinesis this time. Several weights were brought out, and they were asked to pick one they could lift without struggling, and then told to hold it until ordered to stop. Twilight did well with a weight slightly above the average chosen by the other recruits, but the burning hoof spell she had cast had taken more magic than she had anticipated, and she was sweating with effort by the time she was ordered to put it down. Rarity could only lift the lightest weight, but she held it reasonably well before being told to put it down. No pony made a fuss about it this time. For the rest of the day, they were drilled in maintaining and moving in formation, casting spells simultaneously, and the order by which Wolven were to be killed, starting from high-ranking ones to the lowest grunts. The sun was setting when they were dismissed, with each one of them completely exhausted physically and mentally. Rarity half-walked and half-dragged herself towards the building they were staying at, when Owlsight's voice stopped her. "Come over here, recruit," Owlsight called. Rarity obediently did so. The sight of the pony who had laughed limping back to his position had burned into her mind a simple rule. Do not anger Mage Captain Owlsight.
"Yes, sir?"
"I don't know what I'm going to do with you, recruit," Owlsight said. "You're like a giant water tank with only a pinhole for an opening. Your burst is completely useless, but you have decent sustainability. Normally we'd work on that until we made something out of you, but these aren't normal times. If I put you out there in time for the Wolven attack, you'll get yourself killed. Worse, you'll probably drag some pony to the grave with you." Rarity found herself staring at the ground in embarrassment. Was she the only one among her friends who had been deemed useless? The thought was extremely painful. "What was your profession before signing up?" Owlsight asked.
I was a dressmaker," she said weakly.
"Good. I'm going to arrange for you to transfer to the maintenance division of logistics. Use your sewing skill to patch up ripped clothes and tents or something. Report to Logistics Officer Frostmane tomorrow morning."
"Yes, sir," Rarity said.
With that, she made her way back, eager to forget this embarrassing day. Applejack tapped the pavement with her hoof as she inspected her new gear. Both she and Pinkie Pie had been given a set of medium barding as soon as they signed up with the infantry. Right now, she was wearing a heavy suit of chain with thick plates of metal covering most of her face, neck, chest, and flank. It was similar to Scarlet Rabbit's, but slightly heavier. She guessed that the Pegasi wore lighter barding to stay aloft. She was expecting a piece of cloth to cover her legs like the one that Vanguard wore. Capricorn, Capri, whatever that long-tailed word was. She guessed that only high-ranking officers got to wear them. She wore her hat on top of the headpiece, even though she felt that it was a little silly. In addition to the barding, she was also given a set of tramplers, heavy metal shoes that made her legs feel a little stiff.
"If you were wearing tramplers, you might have taken his head off."
She now understood what Vanguard had meant by those words. These things were heavy and hard. Having one fall on you would hurt quite badly, and to have one smashed into you by a strong pony, bones would shatter for sure. The name Tramplers was appropriate enough. She almost felt sorry for any Wolven who got caught underneath these. All the metal she was wearing, however, slowed her down considerably. The weight around her body was going to take some getting used to. She expected to wake up stiff in the morning. That was when Applejack realized that as hard as the suit was for her, it must be worse for Pinkie Pie. Sure enough, she found the pink pony having trouble just taking a few steps forward. Pinkie had been enthusiastic about getting a set of barding and tramplers. Even though she was a little disappointed that she couldn't choose the color, she was still all smiles when she began putting them on. The weight swiftly crushed that enthusiasm, just as surely as it was slowly crushing her.
"That's enough admiring yourselves, fillies,"
one of the infantry officers called out.
"Fall in!"
Infantry's recruits made the largest group of ponies at the plaza at the end of recruitment. They were organized into 3 separate groups, with 35 ponies each. The first day of training's objective was simple: get used to your barding. They were taught basic formations and made to walk, trot, turn, and stop without breaking them. It was only a matter of time before Pinkie collapsed completely while trotting. The weight was simply too much. She was panting heavily, and her sweat dripped on the pavement.
"Get up, filly,"
their officer said. He didn't shout like the other officers, but he had a stern tone and a frighteningly disconnected way of talking.
"How can you possibly defeat a Wolven if an inanimate suit of metal gets the better of you? Get up!"
Pinky tried to get to her hoofs, but her knees wouldn't follow through. After a second attempt failed, the officer motioned for Applejack and another recruit to come forward and help her up. They helped her to the side, then took off the barding.
"Get back to your positions, you two," the officer said.
The day finished with Pinky remaining sidelined. Although completely exhausted herself, Applejack walked over to her. One of the other recruits, a young stallion with light brown coat and a short spiky mane of darker brown, named Two Colt, walked with her. He was the other recruit who had been called to help Pinky earlier, and he was also the pony immediately to Applejack's left while in formation. Earlier, Applejack had asked about his name, to which he replied, "My parents have no imagination. I was their second colt." They found Pinky looking completely deflated when she heard that they were to report back the next morning.
"Maybe infantry ain't the right place for you, Pinky," Applejack said. "There has to be a group that doesn't need to wear all this metal."
"They'd find a use for her in logistics," Two Colt added helpfully.
What?
Applejack asked.
"What do they do?"
"Lots of stuff. If it's got something to do with food, equipment, transportation, and recruitment, logistics deals with it."
"Well, there you go,"
Applejack said with enthusiasm.
"Sounds like something you can do, Pinky."
The suggestion seemed to brighten Pinky up.
"Yeah," she said. "I'm pretty good with food, especially if they don't make me wear this suit while making it."
Two Colt looked at the pink pony skeptically. "Are you sure?" he asked. "The Legion can't run without logistics, but it's not a glory roll. Your brothers and sisters set out to win the day, while you hang by the rear lines peeling potatoes."
"It takes all kinds to make the Legion," Applejack said. "You said it yourself."
She turned her attention to Pinky.
"Let's get some rest. Let's see if we can talk to our officer about putting you there."
"He's probably considering it already," Two Colt added. The recruits for medical didn't have a place in Bastion City's plaza. They were too few in number and didn't need that large a space anyway. Instead, Fluttershy found herself ushered into one of the nearby buildings. Inside, Dr. Redbrand and two assistants were standing over several recruits. Even at a distance, Fluttershy noticed the fierce scowl on Redbrand's face and the veins pulsing on his forehead. He noticed her in return and immediately shouted,
"Fluttershy! About time you showed up! Get your bug-marked flank over here and help out!"
He looked over the recruits, who were clearly cowed by his yelling.
"These idiots can't even do a proper sling! I've got half a mind to break their forelegs and let them figure it out!"
Fluttershy immediately rushed over out of concern for two things. To make sure that Redbrand didn't shout himself hoarse, and to make sure that he didn't really break the forelegs of his new recruits. Despite being a new recruit herself, she soon found herself playing more of the role of a teacher instead of a student, helping the other recruits master different medical techniques before Redbrand lost his patience. The doctor meant well, and he taught clearly and precisely, but he also expected great results immediately and resorted to violent threats when his students fumbled. Nevertheless, Fluttershy felt that he would only remotely consider carrying out those threats when things got very bad indeed. She was suddenly reminded of Angel. The rabbit was also often grumpy, but he always meant well. The thought saddened her, however. How was Angel doing now? Was he still living in her home, or had he moved on? Perhaps he had started living with another pony. She wasn't quite sure how to feel about that. She also wondered if he resented her for disappearing, or if he was now glad he didn't have to fuss over some pony.
"Stop staring into space and help that recruit over there, Fluttershy. He's about to strangle himself with that roll of bandages."
Fluttershy flew over to the poor recruit and helped him untangle himself. She had to smile a little, though. The thought of comparing Little Angel to the tall and gruff Redbrand did seem kind of silly. She decided to concentrate on helping out for the sake of the recruits. It didn't take long for the day to wear down. With the recruits all heading out for the day, Fluttershy decided to stay a little longer to help clean up.
"Fluttershy,"
Redbrand suddenly spoke. She turned towards him in response.
"Good job for today,"
he said gruffly. He opened the flasks he seemed to carry with him at all times and took a short pull.
"Here. Welcome to medical."
He offered the flask to Fluttershy, who took it gingerly and sniffed at its contents. Whatever was inside smelled quite strong. She looked at Redbrand, who was waiting patiently, and decided that refusing would be rude. She took a quick sip and then quickly gagged. The liquid inside was incredibly strong, and when she forced herself to swallow, it ran down her throat like liquid fire. Coughing, she handed the flask back to Redbrand, who looked amused.
"Philly,"
he said with mock scorn. He put the flask's cap back on and put it away before moving on.
"See you in the morning, Fluttershy,"
he said. Still choking and her head slightly spinning, Fluttershy did her best to nod and smile before heading back to the building she was staying in. While the other pony recruits trained on the plaza, the Pegasi of reconnaissance trained high above it. Up in the air, Rainbow Dash tried out the new leather outfit that she had been provided. Flying with the added weight was certainly a new experience. She had flown while carrying heavy objects before, even other ponies, but having the weight distributed all around her was different. It had actually taken her a few minutes of adjusting to make sure that the new barding didn't chafe against her wings. In addition to her new barding, Rainbow had also been provided with a few more things. A map of the Barrier Lands in general, a map of the Northern Barrier Lands, and then another one of Bastion City and its surrounding areas. "Familiarize yourself with these areas, Chosen," the reconnaissance officer had told her. "The rest of your fellows know them by heart for having lived here, but you don't. You're excused from target practice today, so you can explore before the Wolven arrive." And then there was the crossbow. Rainbow held the weapon as if she was holding a sleeping snake. She had never held a weapon before, except for Vanguard's two-bladed sword. This was certainly the first time she would actually own one. In addition to the crossbow, she also had a case of bolts strapped to her left side. She took aim, bringing the sight to her eye, just like her officer had showed her, and scanned her surroundings. She imagined a wolven lurking down below, stalking one of her friends with its cruel fangs bared and ready to kill. She would swoop in at the nick of time, take aim, and fire in a split second. And just as the wolven would jump in for the kill, the bolt would catch it right between the ribs and plunge straight into a lung. The force of an impact would knock it to the ground, where it would lay feebly on its side while wheezing and gurgling its life away. Rainbow Dash shook her head, cursing her ridiculously vivid imagination and for reminding herself of what she would have to do. "I had to shoot," she argued mentally. To herself, she realized in dismay. This was hardly any better than arguing with a pile of rocks with a birthday hat. "It was going after my friend." "Nice," some pony said from behind her. "They gave you a Quarrel Mark II light crossbow. Enjoying the feel of it?" Rainbow turned towards the voice. "Aren't you supposed to be on duty or something, Scarlet?" she asked.
"I am on duty," Scarlet Rabbit replied with a grin. "Special operations, remember? Standing around doing nothing is not the weirdest thing we've had to do."
"Sounds like an easy job."
"Only if you make the cut. Shouldn't you be at the firing range?"
"I was told to explore some of these places." Rainbow pointed to her maps. "I was just about to go."
"I'll come along. Gotta make sure you don't get lost."
Rainbow's eyes narrowed as she observed Scarlet. She hadn't forgotten what Vanguard Clash had said just this morning. Almost as fast as Scarlet. Vanguard wasn't an idiot. He certainly wasn't blind either. He knew what he was saying and who he was saying it in front of. Almost. That was a bald-faced challenge, and Rainbow certainly wasn't going to take that challenge lying down.
"All right," she said. "How about we go to this place?"
she suggested, and pointed at her map of Bastion City's surroundings.
"Frostrock Needle?"
Scarlet asked. The Needle, as it was often simply called, was a peculiar formation of rocks several miles to the north of Bastion City that resembled a needle jutting upwards. The story went that the needle rose up when Prince Turato stomped his hoof on the ground to stab King Fenrir from beneath.
"Good choice. Check out the northern areas first, since that's where the wolven will be coming from."
"How about we race there?"
Rainbow asked with a smirk.
"Whoa there," Scarlet replied. "Why race?"
"Why not? I heard you're fast."
"You heard right, but the captain doesn't like me racing. He says it's bad for morale."
"And why's that?"
"Well, the ponies I beat tend to think they're slow when I leave them behind. I drove one to drink, then she got 20 lashes for showing up to duty while drunk."
"You're making me want to race you even more."
"Oh, all right," Scarlet relented. "Just promise me you won't start crying to the captain afterwards."
"Oh, you'll be the one crying once I leave you behind," Rainbow taunted. "Let's start."
From where they were hovering, they could already see the silhouette of Frostrock Needle. Scarlet showed Rainbow how to attach the crossbow to her harness, and then hovered next to her. He readied himself for a quick flying start.
"All right, on three," he said. "One, two, three!"
The two of them sped off at the same time, leaving behind twin trails, one of prismatic colors and the other of bright red. To her surprise, Rainbow found herself neck and neck against Scarlet.
"He is fast," she thought.
She was flapping her wings as hard as she could, and the distance between the two of them didn't change. On his part, Scarlet wasn't even looking at her.
As the needle came closer, Rainbow began to feel the burn of exertion in her wings. She gritted her teeth and flapped even harder until the onrushing wind began to send her lips flapping. Scarlet remained at her side, his face split into a wide grin. He was enjoying this. She was straining herself just to lose him, and he looked like he was having the time of his life. The needle was a mile away when Rainbow gave it everything she got in one final burst. Finally, she noticed herself pulling slightly away from Scarlet. She looked ahead in time to realize that she had to slow down or slam into the rocks. With her wings flapping backward, Rainbow forced herself to decelerate, her hoofs flailing wildly in her attempt. She slowed down enough to strike the rocks with her hoofs before shattering bones. She looked to her side in time to see Scarlet touch the rocks just a split second after her.
"Ha!" she cried out between pants. "I won! I beat you!"
Scarlet Rabbit was panting too.
"Yeah, you did," he said with a grin. "I can't believe some pony could actually beat me."
Rainbow did a little victory dance in the air. She did it. She showed that vanguard in his mother. Her wings were on fire, and she was panting as if air was going to go out of style after a few minutes, but she did it. Scarlet flew over and offered a hoof in congratulations. With a smirk, she took it and shook vigorously. The motion caused Scarlet's barding to jingle slightly. The sound immediately wiped the smirk off Rainbow's face.
"Hey, Scarlet, how heavy is that barding you're wearing?" she asked.
"Oh, this?" Scarlet asked.
"It's called light barding, so it's light. Let me try it on."
"I'm not switching barding with you out here," Scarlet protested. Rainbow hovered up close and lifted up the metal plate that had protected Scarlet's chest. Light her flanks. The plate alone likely weighed half as much as her leathers. Scarlet just raced her wearing a plate-reinforced suit of chain barding.
"Who told you to turn this into some handicap match?" she asked indignantly.
"What are you talking about?" Scarlet asked. "Do you think I was going to take off my barding and leave it somewhere while we raced?"
"Well, yeah."
Scarlet laughed briefly.
"That's crazy," he said. "This thing costs a lot, you know. I'll leave it someplace for a few minutes and I'll end up flying naked for the rest of my missions."
"This race doesn't count," Rainbow said through grit teeth. "Someday, we'll race on even terms."
"Okay, okay," Scarlet said with his hoofs raised in front of him. "We'll race some other time, and..."
The red Pegasus stopped and stared at what was behind Rainbow. Curious, she looked towards that direction as well.
"Time to head back," he said.
To their north, just at the edge of the horizon, they could already see a steadily advancing mass of dark colors. The Wolven were on the move once more. Even Rainbow could tell that they would be at the city's gates soon. Ignoring the burning in her wings, Rainbow followed Scarlet back to the city.